don't have a differentiated recruitment approach and you can't bend and flex with whether what's happening in your particular company from a growth perspective or the bigger part of what's happening around the globe, you're dead in the water from a labor perspective.
Hi all, welcome to Hacking HR podcast. We have yet another episode for you with a very, very interesting conversation with Kelly in our recording room. Hi, Kelly. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Kelly comes with approximately 2 decades of strategic leadership in HR across varied industries. And she has been leading the people strategy plan for the organizations year on year and helping the organization succeed. Kelly, before we jump into the topic for today's conversation, just wanted to understand how has this transition been with you in last couple of years, especially given the times that now we are in a most uncertain period where you don't have a dedicated strategy in place?
Great question. I think having been in the talent acquisition recruiting space for the last 2 decades, we saw this crazy shift in 2008. And certainly saw a very different shift over the last 2 years. I would say it's been interesting, challenging, emotional, fun, but certainly I think it speaks to the whole reason why we're talking today, which is really centered around if you don't have a differentiated recruitment approach and you can't bend and flex with whether what's happening in your particular company from a growth perspective or the bigger part of what's happening around the globe, you're dead in the water from a labor perspective. And we've certainly felt the pain that everyone feels in the labor market. And that's the reason why having an approach that is dynamic and agnostic is really key when you're entering this type of market.
Absolutely, Kelly. And this brings us to an interesting theme that we are today looking at discussing with you, which is how important it is to have a differentiated talent acquisition strategy rather than just copy pasting from the different models that are around you as part of the best practice culture. So before we deep dive into the differentiation, let's start with the basics, Kelly. A lot of times people and in a lot of work cultures, it is often confused between talent acquisition and recruitment. What people don't understand is that talent acquisition is an overall arching strategy that the CEO and the leadership wants to design and curtail around and then move forward with it versus just going and doing your hiring numbers at the end of the day to meet the volumes. So it'll be good to have a quick insight in terms of how that differentiator can be brought in firstly from the basics between the strategy and the recruitment process.
Great question. I think any company that is looking to change and shift their mindset from a pure, just go recruit, find these candidates and fill them, would find that they're really struggling in this market and taking a step back and looking at what it means to build a comprehensive talent acquisition strategy is the only way to get ahead. And certainly that boils down to knowing your organization. It boils down to first understanding your business and what the company does and how they do it, and then tying a lot of those mission and objective and values to your leading principles within your recruitment team. So as an example, focusing on planning and strategy, focusing on internal talent awareness and seeking to understand who's on your internal bench and being able to have solid succession planning, understanding your brand and how you go out to the market with unique selling points and get people excited about wanting to work at your company. Candidate management, the nurturing of a candidate, the life cycle of a candidate, how they're treated throughout the process, and then the data and analytics that kind of bring it all together and you tie a nice bow on it. I think once you've been able to establish the mission and the objectives are clear, and you've got leading principles for how you plan to guide your talent acquisition strategy, if you don't have those things, you're just simply recruiting, which is more of a reactive approach. You're just going after a financial analyst in this role and not taking a step back and identifying all of those key best practices and guiding principles, which really set you apart. And especially in this market, we need to do because candidates have so many options right now. And if you don't have that laid out, you're never going to get ahead of in the war for talent.
True. And if I were to step back for a moment in last 2 years, 3 years with this pandemic, and I'm not really focusing on the pandemic situation, sure, just as an example reference. There was suddenly an uproar in the industry talking about upskilling, reskilling, coming up with talent acquisition practices wherein we can look at global talent coming on board, work from anywhere, and whole host of different models that people were open and willing to look at. But now, again, when the world is changing its perspective and everyone is pushing towards work from office model again, and of course the hybrid as well. So in that case, how do you see a differentiator coming up in a way which can adapt to these changing needs in the organization?
I sat in on a recent webinar held by HR Policy Association around the difference between unskilled and skilled, or they referred to it as actually desk versus deskless workers. My industry, you know, we are logistics, supply chain, cold storage, warehousing. So a large volume of our individuals, they have to be there. We feed the world, so we have to have people in the office and in locations to make sure that those things take place. I think the notion of hybrid work is going to continue to shift. We saw Elon Musk's tweet. I think everyone saw his tweet. Made everybody stand back on their heels about the importance of being in the office. I think most companies have adapted to remote work, and most companies have changed their mindset around the importance of a hybrid type philosophical approach in terms of how we hire. I think any company that takes that back from people is going to be hard pressed to continue to have recruiting not be demanding and challenging. And from a retention standpoint, a lot of people, not just pandemic wise, think very differently about work now. We've seen tons of statistics from Gartner and many other HR publications and insights out there about people and their approach to work-life balance, the importance of family, and wanting to have a better work-life balance. So if we're not approaching it from a hybrid perspective, it's going to wreak havoc on your ability to retain your talent that you've so worked so hard to find. I don't see that changing anytime soon. I think some companies are moving more towards a, hey, let's stick our toe in the water and do 2 days a week. Let's see how the companies adapt to that. But I think as we start to move towards these recessionary headwinds, companies are going to want to be protective of what they've created. So you might start to see companies evolve more, bring them back into the office. I think any company that draws a hard line in the sand about making people be somewhere where there is the bout and the potential to be flexible is going to have huge retention challenges.
Awesome, Kelly. So I was thinking when you were bringing in such interesting insights, apparently, if we look at the statistics in different reports, mm-hmm. it still takes about 27 to 30 business days on an average for a position to close. Mm-hmm. And most of the times, the business impact is so large that the talent acquisition team is not able to navigate and influence the decisions in a way that they're able to bridge the gap between the losses that the business is going to be making because of the person not available and the time to onboard the person and hire that right talent. And I'm saying that in quotes, sure. Because I have a different philosophy on right talent as well. So how do you see what can be those differentiators, not just from the industry perspective, but from the overall strategic perspective that leadership can start thinking of to get the kind of talent that they're looking for without having major losses in the business?
Great question. When you think about being a strategic talent acquisition professional, you should be, you know, we always hear the seat at the table, right? Of course, everyone wants a seat at the table. You do that by delivering an impact and a service that's not there today. The only way you're going to get a seat at the table, and if you have respect, is if you've delivered on your promises and you've shown up in a way that your insights impact the mission, the organization values, the goals that you're trying to achieve. And so those two areas for focus for us have been quality of hire. So I've hired someone, how long are they going to stay here? Are they producing? How do they do from a performance perspective? We hired individuals from this particular community outreach program, and we find they are 10 times more effective in their role. So we want to invest in that kind of partnership from a recruitment vehicle. Cost of vacancy is another big one. So when you look at business that we would have to turn away if we didn't have humans doing what they did, it's an important number and an important metric that if you are a strategic business partner for your organization, which I'm proud to say Lineage does that very well, then you're coming to the table with cost of vacancy, quality of hire metrics to help the business understand the importance and the criticality of what it means when you have an open requisition for a long period of time and how that impacts business and your bottom line.
Awesome. Since we are almost inching close to the podcast hour coming to an end, my last question for you. We have startups, then we have startups that are scaling to a mid-size or a large-size organization. And then we have the larger players in the market who are looking at acquisitions, joint ventures, mergers to see how they can bring in those trends of the business and people in their umbrella of offering to the clients. Now, given that as a situation, and I'm sure you would agree that every aspect of the organization will have a different strategy as far as talent acquisition is concerned. But a lot of times, a common mistake, what worked for my large organization, if I was, say, with some good investment bank, and I go to a boutique investment firm, and I try and bring those practices back there, and then failing miserably when it comes to meeting the expectations. So your quick advice to the viewers and the listeners, in terms of what is it that they can do to start identifying the differentiators within their organization space rather than trying to bring in and fit in the common practices everywhere.
Everything I did at my previous position would have failed here at my current position. So I think, you know, when you say that, it's also recruiting as a whole is experimental. It's something that you need to understand. Where are the people? Go where the people are is my best advice. In terms of building an effective strategy and making sure you've got a differentiated approach, I always talk about the toolkit. How many tools do you have in your tool bag? If you're just focused on Indeed, and that's your feeder pool for all of your candidates, what are you going to do if Indeed blows up tomorrow? I always try to make sure that when you're talking about recruitment, you're putting people in the center of it. So when you think about how you're working with and addressing and talking to people, how are you networking? How are you sourcing? What are you doing? Whether those be through career events, through campus recruiting, through internship programs. Are your recruiters trained on Boolean searching effective methods? Are we doing direct sourcing? What's your job board approach? How are you reaching out community partnerships? Are you doing things like refugee programs? Are you partnering with correctional institutions as a feeder pool for talent to make sure that philanthropically you're also doing the right things? So my point in all of this is if you don't have multiple tools in your toolkit and you're not trying, experimenting, brainstorming, and constantly evolving with the world and the changing dynamic of the market and the skills and the challenges, you'll never be effective at filling all your positions.
I promise this is the last one. Sorry. It was such an interesting insight you gave.
No problem.
Yes. So the last one here is that what could be the key takeaway for the leadership team? Because I know there's always an expectation mismatch. What could be the key takeaway for the leadership team in while partnering with the talent acquisition heads and the CHROs for the talent acquisition strategy to bring in the differentiator for attracting and retaining talent for a long term in the organization?
My one word would be proactive. A lot of times when recruiting is brought in after the fact, we can't fix the problem because there's already a huge gap in terms of the need. So from a leadership perspective, if you're not being proactive about what your workforce planning looks like and how that strategy overlays on top of it to meet the needs, you're going to continue to struggle with the market challenges that we see today. So being proactive about what's coming and making sure you've got the right people in the right places focused on the right efforts.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you so much, Kelly. Those were very, very interesting nuggets for our viewers and our listeners today on the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in again. Signing off till we come back to you with another HR Hacking HR podcast in the upcoming season. Thank you and take care.
Thank you, everybody, for watching or listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please follow us on our social media and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay informed of all the things that we're putting together for you from the Hacking HR community. Thank you so much. Please continue to stay safe, stay well, stay strong, and we will see you soon.